Welcome to Scary Savannah and Beyond. This is going to be episode number 48, and we're closing in fast on episode number 52, I guess.
We are.
Which would be our one-year anniversary episode, which just happens to be on what day of the year? Say in German.
All Hallows Eve.
Samhain, Samhain.
No, the proper way to say it is Samhain.
Samhain. Okay. Yes. Well, I
which we'll
like
talk about in a little bit.
Learn more about this pronunciation, and maybe you can clarify for me why that's the proper spelling.
I will.
So you can find us online if you go to scarysavannahandbeyond.com. You can find us on all social media platforms by looking for the username at scarysavannah. We'd like to remind you that we have a monthly merchandise giveaway, so please go to our website and you can find the tab that says giveaways up at the top. Just go click on it, follow the easy instructions. We'll be giving away this month's merch on the first episode in November. We would also like to mention that we have a Patreon and we have all kinds of exclusive content on there that you can find if you go to our website and click on the Patreon tab or follow the link at the bottom of the screen. And you can join for as little as $3 a month, and we have at least weekly updates. And right now we're going through a series called Cryptids A to Z.
Yeah, we're deep into the middle of the states.
We are. We was in that old state of Indiana in the last episode, right?
Yeah, Indiana.
Indiana.
Which is real, by the way.
Not like some other states we've heard about.
Exactly.
I'm still not convinced that Indiana's real either.
I am.
No, it's Indiana that is.
Yeah.
Iowa might not be because it sounds a lot like Idaho.
Yeah, Idaho, we're still on the fence about
it. On the fence about it. Not sure about it.
If you're from
that.
Idaho, please let us know it's
yes,
real.
Yes, let us know. Not if you know somebody from Idaho.
Yeah, because everybody knows somebody that knows somebody.
I know somebody that knows somebody.
That's been to Idaho?
No.
Oh, me
no
either.
No one ever has been to Idaho.
And me either.
Some people have said that they have family that lives in Idaho, but like I said, until I see Idaho with my own eyes,
yeah.
I'm not going to believe it. And my lovely co-host would certainly love for you to support her caffeination habit by going and buying her a coffee. If you go to the little link on the bottom left-hand corner of the website where there's a little icon that looks like that, then you can give to the podcast donation, help keep her coffee cup full. And if you notice, I went ahead and got her those new headphones she's been wanting that match mine now.
You so did. Now help us pay for it.
Now I'm in terrible crushing debt and would love for any assistance that you could offer. So if you could buy us a coffee, that would be amazing. And also on this episode, our loyal listener, Savannah Marchion, sent us a really interesting thing over the week. And this is about the story of the Gray Man of Pawley's Island.
Mm-hmm.
And she even sent a picture with this story. And I'm not going to go into detail about this story because I think we're probably going to want to cover it in an upcoming episode.
Yeah, it was really cool because that is on our list of things to cover. And she got some firsthand evidence, I would say.
Yes. Well, it's secondhand. I think it's a picture that was sent to her. Well, she didn't take the picture, but that's about as close as you
eyewitness testimony.
Get. And I'm going to put that picture up right now. So check this out and tell me it's not freaky.
Yeah. So this occurred during the hurricane this past weekend, right?
Yes. And the story about the Gray Man is he's got a relationship to, he's sort of a portent for bad things like hurricanes and such. And we'll talk more about it on an upcoming episode. But I wanted to share this with all of our listeners and viewers because it's really crazy.
Yeah.
So if you're not watching us on YouTube, go to our YouTube channel and you can see this picture. Trust me, it's worth going to see. All of our podcast episodes are also on YouTube as well. And you probably want to check this out because it's spooky season up in here. And Crystal has decorated the studio with quite a few cool decorations.
Yeah, it was fun.
So Crystal, please tell me, how have you been this week? But do it in Klingon.
Oh my goodness. That put me on the spot. I don't know any Klingon
yes,
words.
Yes, you do.
Except
you know
for
Korplak. Korplak.
That's it.
That's all you need to
does
really
Korplak
know.
Does mean you know, excellent?
No, it means, I think it's like an insult.
Well, it means excellent in my case because the Braves are the National League East champions for the fifth year in a row.
They tried to give it away.
They did. No, they fought tooth and nail to get that.
Well, they swept the Mets in the series against them, which was the big deal. And then they played one of the lesser good teams in the league and just barely eked out a win.
I could hardly watch it. It was so nerve-wracking. And I'm really nervous for the playoffs. And it doesn't seem like it's going to get any easier. But I'm excited.
And if the Braves do get knocked out of the playoffs, it may be the end of the podcast. So everybody be rooting for the Braves because she takes this seriously. She wouldn't even watch the game last night. A certain pitcher comes up and pitches at the end of the game. I'm not going to name his name because I don't want him to know that talking about him.
Every time this particular pitcher
comes up to pitch, she covers her face and won't watch the man throw. It
gives me flashbacks to watching John Smoltz when I was a child.
You can talk about him because he was amazing.
Yes, John Smoltz was an amazing pitcher, but it just seemed like he would blow it whenever I really wanted him to win it. And this seems to be the case with a more recent pitcher. But he's been doing great. So let's hope he holds
it
together.
Good job. Way to hold it together. I'm glad we could inspire you to do greater things.
Yeah, let's hope he keeps it together for a couple more weeks. Also, the Bulldogs won this past Saturday.
Which barely, just like the Braves, against an unranked team.
So yes, I think that knocked them to number two.
In the last polls, it did, yes.
Yeah. So fall's getting off to a great start. The air is changing. Spooky season is upon us.
As you can see.
Yeah. So this is like my favorite time of year. What about you?
I love Halloween more than any other holiday. It's my favorite time of the year. I just enjoy it so much. The smells, the sounds, the weather.
Yeah, I bought a cinnamon smelling broom today, and I used to be highly allergic to them, and it's been like 10 plus years.
Couldn't even walk past them in the store.
Yeah, 10 plus years since I bought one, so we're going to see.
Bought one and put it in the living room.
We're going to see how it goes. But yeah, I spent the whole day yesterday decorating. I think you're going to post some pictures.
As soon as you send them to me, I'm going to, and you should be seeing them right now.
We went to a few stores looking for pumpkins, and it was harder to find than you'd think.
You just assume you could go to Walmart, right?
I know. They didn't have any at Walmart, but we did find some at Davis Produce, which is our local produce stand right off the island. It's a great place to stop by if you're on your way to Tybee. Did you post the video while we were there?
I haven't posted the video, but I think I'll just go ahead and post it right now so everybody can see it. They got a really cool sign.
So here we are outside of our local Davis Produce, which is an amazing shop.
If you're near Tybee, coming in, stop by. They have everything. Pumpkins, produce, honey,
hot sauce, barbecue sauce,
homemade stuff,
ferns, assorted produce.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Check it out. It's on the way in from Savannah.
So you even got a new barbecue sauce from there to try, didn't you?
I love sauces.
Yeah.
I especially love anything from anywhere that's local.
Yeah.
And that's a hot barbecue sauce that's supposed to be locally made in Guyton, Georgia. So I bought a bottle of it. I haven't opened it yet, but we're going to try it out.
And I made the mistake of taking you to Kroger so I could find some tiny pumpkins. And it was like taking a kid to a candy store.
It's like a mistake taking me anywhere, honestly.
I know. Like you had said previously, we haven't been grocery shopping in quite a while.
How long have we been married? 5, 10 years? You don't know me yet?
I know, but we went there to get tiny pumpkins, which are outside, so I was just going to walk in and pay for them, but you're like, no, I got to see the cheeses. So we spend 10 minutes perusing the cheese section of Kroger.
I like looking at the big Parmesan wheels
they have. You do. So yeah, it was quite clear you hadn't been into a store in a while.
I'm not in public very often, honestly.
I know. Fall is in the air. All the hectic summer activities are mostly over. All our TV shows that we like are coming back on with new episodes. Tourism is slowing down a little bit here on the island. And the lack of humidity in the air means one thing.
Pirates are coming.
This weekend, Tybee will host its annual Pirate Fest. It's a fun time where everyone dresses up as a pirate for some reason.
Because we're a pirate community that drinks while it's fishing.
Exactly. There's going to be live music and a parade, which I know you're a big fan of.
I don't like any parades, and you know this.
And there's even a Buccaneer Ball where they crown a king and queen of the Pirate Fest.
You should be the queen.
Well, a friend of mine is going to be the queen this year. She's a fellow Brave super fan. So congrats, Judy.
I see why she's your friend.
Exactly. I love any excuse to dress up, so Pirate Fest gives us another opportunity besides just Halloween to get dolled up. You always look good as your Captain Jack Sparrow.
I do. I look good in makeup.
You do, with the eyeliner?
Pirate makeup, that is.
Usually, there are vendors and carnival rides at Pirate Fest, but it's being scaled down this year.
They usually have some big-name bands here, at least, you know, maybe C or D-level big-name bands. Like, for example, in a previous year, right before COVID, they had Quiet Riot out here.
Yeah,
so we're standing out there on the beach, and I'm like, Quiet Riot!
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was all kinds of fun, and I was dressed as Jack Sparrow while I did it.
So if you'd like to see hundreds of pirates all crammed into a 3-mile space, plan a trip to Tybee around the first week of October next year and come escape the ordinary with us.
And who wouldn't want to be around a 3-mile island full of pirates?
I don't know anyone that wouldn't.
Nobody in their right mind, that's for sure.
Spooky season really is the perfect time to plan a visit to Savannah and Tybee. The weather is great and the spirits are out in full force. Many of the historic homes will be decorated with pumpkins and fall flowers. You can take a ghost and gravestones tour on one of their haunted trolleys or even ride around in a hearse. We haven't done that one yet, but it looks pretty cool.
There are several hearses. Yeah. And some of them come almost ran us over that time we were going to do that paranormal investigation over at the Savannah Theater. You remember that hearse come flying around the curve? And it was like, I'm taking people in the hearse.
Maybe it was a mix of a pub crawl slash hearse tour and they got confused.
Slash drinking pub crawl and they're driving the hearse.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. If you're into haunted houses, check out the Ali Terror Plantation Haunted House. They're open every Friday and Saturday in October, and it's supposed to be one of the scariest haunted house attractions in all of Georgia.
I was not aware of that, and we have not been to a haunted house that isn't an actual haunted house in years. Mm-mm.
Remember, we met a lady at Marshall's the other day, and she was telling us about it, and this is what she was talking about.
Yeah, she was saying that she was terrified, but she goes every year.
She still goes every year.
I didn't fall out last year.
Also, on Friday and Saturday nights in October, the Davenport House Museum on Columbia Square puts on Living History, Yellow Fever in Savannah 1820. The program is a dramatic recreation of early 19th century life, focusing on the psychological effects experienced during the yellow fever epidemic. Guests will make their way through the historic candlelit home and learn about medical treatments of the time period and home remedies.
Most of them involved a hacksaw.
I really want to do that this year.
Get involved with a hacksaw?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
One of our favorite Halloween events is a tour called Four Nights of Halloween that takes place in Bonaventure Cemetery and is hosted by our friend and master storyteller, Shannon Scott. It's a 3-hour tour, and if you do the Saturday night tour, you get to enjoy a low country dinner at a great local restaurant and take part in a Q&A session with Shannon, who is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all things Savannah and ghosts.
He is a wealth of knowledge, and he is a phenomenal storyteller, and he actually has a YouTube channel. If I can figure out how to do it, I'll put links up here somewhere to link to his page.
But
he has a lot of the historical aspects of the city of Savannah, and he talks about the graveyards like Bonaventure and Colonial Cemetery and Laurel Grove Cemetery, and he does tours regularly, not just at Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And it is totally worth taking any of his tours. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
We've done this tour and others several times, and it's always top-notch. So if you're going to be in town the last week of October, definitely check it out. We'll post a link in the show notes for ticket info. We may do this again this year. We haven't decided quite yet.
We haven't figured out and nailed down our Halloween plans because there's so many different things we could be doing.
There's a lot of options.
Last year, we were in the Sandbar, which is where we're going to go after we finish recording this episode, where I play music at open mic night once a week. And we were the only people dressed up for Halloween because apparently people didn't dress up.
They dressed up on Saturday, which wasn't Halloween, and we dressed up the next night, which was Halloween, and no one dressed up.
Well, Michael Myers did. Remember, he was laying in the street.
I do remember that. And then he came and just stared you down.
He tried to intimidate me, but it didn't work.
You were Beetlejuice.
Made of stronger stuff, you know.
If you spend Halloween on Tybee with kids, we have a trunk or treat at the YMCA. Everyone decorates their golf carts and cars, and they have a DJ and lights. It's always fun. We probably won't do that this year since our youngest kids are away at college. It's a little sad.
Well, our dogs are here.
I know, we got something else we can do with them. Lewis Avenue blocks off traffic, so it's transformed into a haunted street that's safe for families to walk down. It's like the streets you see in the movies where every house is decorated and the kids are all running around.
The idyllic Halloween scene.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Looks like.
Some houses even have some treats for adults. Remember
I know.
That?
I remember I went down there and we were dressed as Beetlejuice, and they had actually like a little tent set up right at the end of their driveway. And they're like, it's Beetlejuice. And I'm like, hey, it's Beetlejuice.
And they're like, come here and have a shot.
Like, hey, what's this right here? This could be a good look on me. And then I just took the shot with no questions asked.
Exactly.
I survived. So I'm thinking it was a successful trip.
It was fun. If you happen to be traveling to Savannah with your fur babies, make sure to check out the Wagoween event.
What is Wagoween?
Wagoween is a pet-friendly community event in downtown Savannah that attracts over 2,000 people.
That is a lot of people to bring. Dogs.
Funds raised help support local animal rescues, community spay and neuter programs, and it supports community educational programs.
Nice.
Participants, the dogs and their humans, dress up and go trick-or-treating throughout downtown and Starland districts of Savannah with participating businesses.
Why have we not done this before?
I don't know, but now that we don't have little kids to take trick-or-treating, maybe we could take Layla and Coffee to Wagoween.
Layla would be so well-behaved.
She would.
Reasonably, yeah. But Coffee would have an absolute meltdown.
And I'd probably have to make a costume for Layla because hers probably won't fit anymore.
Yeah, she had a
Wonder Woman
costume and it was large and it barely fit her. Now she'd probably have to buy one of those tarps like they use to cover up flatbed trailers and sew a couple of those together.
So with all the excitement that surrounds Halloween, have you ever thought about why we dress up and take our kids or dogs door to door and ask for candy?
You know, I can't tell you how often I sit around and wonder, what were the origins of Halloween?
Well, you're going to find out. The origins of Halloween date back to ancient cultures. Most say it's based on the Irish celebration of Samhain.
There it is, right there. That's what I've been looking for.
Even though it's spelled differently, it is in fact pronounced Samhain.
Well, I've noticed the Irish language because we've got a lot of Irish people around here. They have words written out. Mm-hmm. And when the people say the words, I think that the words are made up because it never sounds like it's written. It doesn't sound like it looks like it should phonetically be pronounced.
Yeah. Samhain was a time of year when they welcomed the end of summer and the beginning of winter. Harvest time was extremely important to ancient peoples. If there wasn't enough food to last through the winter, it would mean death. It was a time to take stock of everything and plan for the upcoming, quote, darker half of the year. Cattle would be assessed and slaughtered. Cattle was basically the currency of the day, so the more you had, the better. They believed that on the night of Samhain, the veil between life and death was at its thinnest.
This already sounds like every horror movie that's based around the time of Halloween I've ever heard of.
There it tells of people getting trapped between life and death on this night. The people would gather for great festivals and feasts with copious amounts of alcohol. They would build bonfires and dress up in scary disguises, possibly made from animal skins, in an effort to fool or confuse any spirits that may come through the bell from what they called the other world. Some spirits were good, possibly just your Uncle Frank who wanted to say hello and ask you about that $10 you owe him.
How about that $10, huh?
But other spirits were malevolent, and you had to be careful with those.
How about that $20, huh?
They would leave food and drink offerings out for the spirits to appease them, sort of like how we appease children with candy in the modern day. They also took this time to practice a little divination. While we've got the spirits on the line, we might as well ask them what's going to happen in the upcoming months.
Young's mind if I place a collect call right down there to the other world.
Many ancient cultures had traditions of honoring their dead in one way or another. In the 5th century, Rome had its celebrations called Parentalia and Pomona. Parentalia was a 9-day festival celebrating their dearly departed. On the last day of the festival, they would perform what was called the Midnight Rites. This ritual was believed to exorcise and cleanse the citizens of Rome. They brought offerings of wreaths, salt, and bread to the tombs of their loved ones.
Now, I know that salt was a very highly desired and valuable currency in that economy.
The second celebration, Pomona, involved honoring the goddess of fruitful abundance, Pomona.
I've never heard of that goddess, and I thought I knew everything about Rome.
This is where we get the tradition of bobbing for apples and candy-covered apples. Apparently, she was a big fan of apples.
Have you ever bobbed for an apple before? Have you ever seen someone bob for an apple before?
Yes, we did in school.
Really?
Yes.
How unsanitary.
I know. Think about it now. They would never do that.
Did you do it? Did you participate? You who separate your foodstuffs on the plate and will not eat cream beans mixed with corn.
I don't think it occurred to me.
You're like, well, I was just getting a trough.
I don't think it occurred to me. The reason I don't mix my food is because I don't like the flavor, not because it's nasty. I don't like the mixing of flavors.
You do have a little bit of the OCD.
As Roman Catholicism spread throughout Europe in the 7th century, the church realized they needed to transform these pagan rituals in some way because the people were unlikely to give them up easily. They decided to adopt and rebrand them in a way acceptable to the church.
Right now you got to stop calling Satan and dress up as Casper the Ghost.
They established All Saints' Day and a day of honoring the dead on November 1st, with October 31st being All Hallows' Eve. Hallow meaning holy.
Checks out.
which evolved into Hallow's Evening, which eventually became Halloween.
Aha, etymology of a word.
With November 2nd being All Souls' Day. At first, All Saints' Day was set for May 13th, but in the 800s, they moved it to November 1st to coincide with the pagan holiday.
Can you imagine trick-or-treating in the middle of spring?
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
It would be weird. I mean, I would do it.
Yeah. This move was highly successful for the church as Christianity spilled into the Celtic society. A blending of beliefs can be seen in the writings of a 900s minister who wrote, quote, "It was traditionally believed that the souls of the departed wandered the earth until All Saints' Day, and All Hallows' Eve provided them one last chance for the dead to gain vengeance on their enemies before moving on to the next world."
Vengeance.
In order to avoid being recognized by any soul that might be seeking vengeance, people would don masks or costumes to disguise their identities.
Such as Casper the Ghost.
So can you just see him wearing like a pair of sunglasses and a hat? Like, it's not me.
It's not me. It's Casper the Ghost.
The concept of the witch started to appear in the 16th century and became synonymous with modern Halloween. People started to suspect others, mainly women, of witchcraft and accuse them based on any number of reasons. They associated everyday items like a broom, which most households had, as an implement used by witches, and it also doubles as a good means of transportation. Also, a cauldron that was used for cooking was suspected of being used for whipping up any number of evil concoctions.
Cauldron, she cooking you over say. There. Cauldron, you say?
And of course, every witch has a black cat because cats are devious little creatures, as we all know. Just kidding. I love cats.
Yeah, you love cats.
In 17th century England, a dude named Guy Fawkes, probably not his real name.
Is that what they called him? Mm-hmm. Hey, dude. And it's like, it's Guy Fawkes.
He decided to blow up London's House of Lords with 36 kegs of gunpowder.
Amateur.
And like, where do you get 36 kegs of gunpowder?
You probably just go down to like the local store, like they got in the castle in the Game of Thrones shows, and be like, I'm with the Gold Guard. I just need 36 K of TNT.
His attempt failed, but he was tried and hanged for his crime, and legend had it that he was then drawn and quartered and thrown into a fire.
After he was hanged?
Yes.
I guess he wasn't really concerned with it at that point.
This event occurred on November 5th, 1605, and every year that followed, on the anniversary of the event, the children of the town would take to the streets creating mischief to mock the memory of Guy Fawkes. They would parade through the town, begging and building bonfires. All across England to this day, the tradition continues and is known as Guy Fawkes Day or Bonfire Night. Puritans in the New World were dead set against carrying on any pagan traditions, but a few Guy Fawkes Days did spring up in the early days of New England. Despite the Puritans' best efforts to avoid what they considered the evils that surrounded these pagan rituals, the occasional costume party or bonfire sprung up, threatening their way of life. In 1833, there's even a tale of a small gathering where ghost stories were told and a fire.
Gasp.
Scandalous.
It is. Were they all wearing Casper the Ghost masks?
No, Brett. No one wore that. In the 1860s, as America was reeling from the Civil War that had left over 500,000 people dead, people became obsessed with the dead and with the notion of spirits. Ghost stories started to become popular, and as Scottish and Irish immigrants began making a place for themselves in the New World, they brought with them their traditions, paving the way for our modern-day Halloween. The Scottish introduced the idea of bogues, or as we know them today, the boogeyman.
The bogeyman.
Bogues apparently like to hang out around gates, so you would need to avoid these at all costs.
Well, you'd be in some big trouble in the city of Savannah then, because they all over the place.
The story of the jack-o'-lantern was introduced by the Irish, although originally it was a turnip, not a pumpkin. It seems they didn't grow pumpkins in Ireland. That's an American fruit.
It's a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it a fruit?
It is just a fruit.
Because it's got seeds on the inside instead of the outside. But a strawberry's got its seeds on the outside, doesn't it? These are questions that need answers.
We'll answer that later when we get to that story. The legend of the jack-o'-lantern, or Jack of the Lantern, is a really fun story. And I'm going to save that for our Halloween episode at the end of the month. So if you want to hear more about Jack of the Lantern and why it's a fruit, make sure to keep listening every week.
I will. Maybe there's a 50-50 chance I'll be there. I don't know. I mean, it will be our big one-year anniversary episode.
So you'll be here?
Possibly.
Okay.
There's
a 95% chance of that happening, but I only give that 50-50 odds.
The Scots and the Irish brought along their turnips and their bogues, but they also brought their pranks, which children reveled in. Throwing eggs, frightening neighbors, creating a little harmless destruction through the towns became quite popular.
When did they start putting dog poop and paper bags on the front porch?
Last week.
Oh, okay.
As the 20th century rolled around, artists of the day began to compile images of all things scary and evil and associated them with Halloween, giving it the vibe we all recognize today. Witches, bats, skeletons, jack-o'-lanterns, ghosts dressed in white sheets, you get it.
Reindeer, Santa Claus, turkeys.
You're thinking of Christmas.
No, you said they begin to compile images of these things. So if you go to any store, you're going to see Santa Claus and all this stuff right down the aisle from the Halloween decoration. So they're, you know, consolidated.
I really love vintage Halloween art. I remember as a kid, my aunt would send me a card for every single holiday. And she would send me Halloween cards, which is weird to me that people send Halloween cards. But I loved them, and I would just sit and look at them for hours, honestly.
That sounds
and
like
actually
something a serial killer
still have
do.
Them, and if I could find them in
Did
time.
Did you sit there and, like, stroke the card?
And they were so cool. It was like you'd open it, and it would be, like, witches and stuff, but it'd have little slots for money, and she put quarters in it.
I remember cards like that.
Yeah,
it was so fun. I also remember when you get to that age where people stop giving you money in the birthday card as much, and that's sad. But I never got a Halloween card my whole life. I didn't even know they existed until you gave me one.
So if I find those cards, we can post some pictures.
That would be great.
They're really cool. As Halloween was evolving in the early 1900s, it became a crisis in many cities such as Chicago. Young adolescent boys were pulling pranks or tricks and causing mayhem. They would take bars of soap and put them in the rails of the streetcars, causing them to derail.
That doesn't sound like a prank. That sounds like involuntary manslaughter.
Well, people weren't killed, but they were injured.
Oh.
They would go to people's homes and move their front steps so that when someone walked out the door, boom, on the ground.
Steps must have been built a little differently.
I know. Like,
day,
I didn't realize that steps were mobile, but okay.
All right, boys, let's move the steps.
They also set fires and threw rocks and windows. It was really getting out of hand. Outside the cities and more rural areas, boys would take wagons apart and reassemble them on roofs. That's actually kind of funny to me. But
that's a lot of dedication.
It wasn't my wagon or my roof, so. They would remove gates from fences and let the animals escape. I'm not okay with this one. I'm always afraid someone's going to open our gates and let Layla our coffee out.
Let our horses run.
And they're going to wind up in a holding cell at the police department.
They would. And they'd be like, well, we're going to have to put them down because they're just a violent group of dogs. This one tried to lick me for a solid hour and a half.
These activities led to the moniker Gate Night, Hell Night, and Mischief Night. During these destructive nights, the cost was quite outrageous as the country was going through the Great Depression. The Halloween of 1933 was dubbed Black Halloween because of the mass destruction sustained by many major cities caused by these young troublemakers. The powers that be decided they needed to, quote, tame Halloween. They came up with ways to entertain children so they wouldn't go out smashing light bulbs and setting fires.
They're moving stairs, those rapscallions.
This led to Halloween parties, parades, games, costume contests, all good, clean fun.
Ho!
But not such cool costumes. Those were so freaky.
Are we showing these pictures now?
We are.
This is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen.
They are.
No wonder Halloween is Satan's holiday.
This led a company named Denison to get in on the action. They published a series of books that gave fun, non-destructive ways to spend your Halloween.
How do you like moving stairs, kids?
They also started making masks and costumes that you could buy at your local drugstore. They were the first to market materials designed exclusively for Halloween. Brilliant.
Smart.
Before that, you had to make your costume out of a potato sack or something.
Give me a potato sack.
Although the idea of store-bought costumes was a good one, the material they chose was not. So what do you think would be a nice, safe material to dress a child in?
Probably something extremely flammable.
Yes, paper. So needless to say, many a costume went up in flames.
Maybe that was by design. Maybe they're in league with Satan.
Maybe.
And they're just trying to get this holiday back on track.
Other companies soon got into the mix and improved the quality of costumes, and dressing up for Halloween became all the rage.
What did they do wrong? They made it out of paper. What are we going to do? Let's make it out of two layers of paper. They're much stronger that way and less flammable.
So
I
now,
don't know why all my people are Mid-Atlantic. It just, it makes sense.
So now we have our flame retardant costumes, our bobbing for apples, our parties, our contests, and our parades. But what is the one thing Halloween is still lacking at this point?
Casper the Friendly Ghost?
No. Trick or treat.
That was my 14th answer.
In 1939, the phrase trick or treat turned up in a magazine article in American Home Magazine, where a woman named Doris Hudson Moss described the success she had by hosting an open house for the kids of her neighborhood. She had placated them with candy and treats and had avoided being, quote, tricked or vandalized.
Stairs are still intact.
Yeah. Thus, a new tradition was born. Now we invite children to come to our door and we ply them with enough sugar to ensure massive dental bills for years to come.
But you keep your steps safe.
I remember when our kids were little, we were like careful with what they ate. And I really tried to monitor and I would watch them brush their teeth at night. So imagine my surprise when I took Ethan and Kylie to the dentist.
And they had cavities.
They had several cavities each and I could not understand what was happening. And one day when I was cleaning, I found a huge stash of empty candy wrappers under a bed. I mean, tons and tons of candy wrappers. Now, why they didn't just throw them in the trash?
Because they think you're smart enough that you probably would have seen
them. I would look in the trash.
Yes, of course you would.
Well, like, I'm not going to look under their bed at some point.
Well, I guess they were just rolling the dice.
I guess that's a 4-year-old brain for you.
It seems to be.
Companies like Mars and Hershey were quick to capitalize on the new opportunity and began producing individually wrapped candies like your Mars bars, your Reese's cups, and your Hershey bars. Now you've got yourself a proper Halloween. Costumes, parties, candies. It took the country by storm. And in 1966, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown premiered on television sets across the nation. I know this is on one of your top five lists.
It's on all of my top five lists.
Oh, for every category?
This is great. The art from this cartoon, I love it. I would love to have framed pictures of every scene and have them on every wall in the house. It's one of the finest works of art of all time. It's really, you know, transcends human experience.
This solidified Halloween as a mainstream tradition, and in 1978, a director named John Carpenter decided to make the first Halloween movie targeting adults. The film, aptly named Halloween, cost $325,000 to make and spawned a franchise that has brought in over $500 million to date.
That is a lot of stairs that could be bought with that money.
It is. So no other movie had been made about Halloween to this point.
That's unbelievable.
I know. They capitalized on that.
It's so weird how, in a way, this is such a recent holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously got all the traditions you're talking about here, but in the sense that we understand it, it's only been around for, you know, just 100 or so years.
Yeah, like the trick-or-treat, it's been around less than 100 years, like 80-something years.
That is wild.
So Halloween the movie was groundbreaking and ushered in a slew of other Halloween-themed movies, essentially establishing horror films as a legitimate genre. The budget for the mask worn by Michael Myers, the villain in Halloween, was next to nothing, so they went to a magic shop and bought a mask that was supposed to be Captain Kirk from Star Trek.
If he had like some massive deformities and didn't look anything like
Captain Kirk. It didn't really look like him. They added a little spray paint and voila, an icon was born. The mask redefined what we think of as scary. Masks alone have become a multi-million dollar industry. Remember those masks we had in the 80s with the plastic costumes? Now, those were scary.
They were kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
And it was
a vinyl.
It was vinyl.
Vinyl costume and the plastic mask.
It was so cheap. But I remember I had this He-Man
costume.
You got
Garfield.
I had that He-Man costume. And I had a Casper the Friendly Ghost costume.
What is it with you and Casper?
I didn't like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I was just so young. My parents stuck it on me. And I was like, I guess I'm the Friendly Ghost. And
what is your favorite costume that you ever wore when you were a kid?
When I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Probably was, you know, I don't really have a favorite costume because I never really
got
elaborate.
So you, the person who has top five lists for every conceivable movie.
Well, my parents weren't like we are with our kids. They weren't exactly like, let's get you some elaborate costume. I mean, they bought me this He-Man costume. But I'll tell you what I do remember, and I have a lot of good memories about Halloween, is one year in our old neighborhood where we lived, we went trick-or-treating, and my dad took us out. And there was a house. It was a square. You know my old neighborhood I was at. And we went to this house and knocked on the door, and the door opened. Now, I was a young kid at the time, so I was not a teenager. And this door opened. and a man walked up, and then all of a sudden, a massive Muppet came out. And this Muppet was like 6 feet tall, and it looked like a sort of like it might be an usher at a haunted movie theater or something. And this was a full-blown Muppet. This was
so it was like, a puppet, not someone dressed up?
It was not someone dressed up. It was a puppet. Okay. It was a Muppet-type puppet with like the hands with the marionette thing. And somehow he had his hand in it and it was talking. It was a full-size thing. And it scared me to death because it just came out and I'd never seen anything like that. And it was amazing. And that guy, I wish
So this is before they had the sex registry list in our neighborhood.
Probably.
So he was probably would have been on it.
Probably. Not nearly as cool as your neighborhood. We didn't have nearly as many decapitations in my neighborhood as you did.
My favorite costume as a kid, what do you think it would have been?
Probably Rainbow Bright.
No, it's going to be completely the opposite of what you think.
Probably would have been Freddy Krueger.
It was Freddy Krueger. I dressed up as Freddy Krueger because I wanted that hand so bad. And my mom bought it for me at Spencer's, and I wore that thing, and I loved it.
Just wore it all the time.
I did. I loved
it. I actually had that, too. I dressed as Freddy also. But the thing that drove me crazy about it is like, little knives would sort of bend because they're made out of plastic. And you couldn't get them to be straight. You couldn't really cut anything
with them. Yeah, who are you going to cut with that?
I mean, how am I going to, you know, be a threat to those around me with these plastic knives?
So today, children and adults alike have embraced all things Halloween. We dress up, we eat candy, we scare ourselves with haunted houses, and collectively as a nation, we will spend an estimated $10.6 billion on Halloween fun and in 2022.
I'm going to throw up a pie chart right now just showing you how that money's distributed out so you can see exactly how much is actually allocated in our budgets towards replacing stairs.
Okay, thank you. Although Savannah bills itself as the most haunted city in America, another city claims the title of Halloween Capital of the World.
I did not know there was such a thing.
There is, and that would be Anoka, Minnesota.
That would have been my third guess.
I know. According to the website AnokaHalloween.com, Anoka, Minnesota is believed to be the first city in the United States to put on a Halloween celebration to divert its youngsters from Halloween pranks. When Anokians awoke to find their cows roaming Main Street, windows soaked and outhouses tipped over, they decided something had to be done. But what?
Was that like in 2003?
No, this was like 19...
Well, they had their outhouses tipped over and the cows roaming the streets and along such.
Like 1930.
Ah.
A costume parade and block party seemed to be the perfect trick. Halloween became a wonderful distraction for our town for generations to come, and we wouldn't have it any other way. The crisp of the season, the creativity of the shops, the schools, the costumes, the laughter, the food, the fun, and the parties.
And the drinking, presumably.
Interestingly, in the 1970s, the winners of the TV game show The Dating Game were awarded with a trip to Anoka to ride in the Halloween parade.
How times have changed.
Hopefully, this wasn't the year that serial killer Rodney Alcala won the dating game.
I just saw that on the TV the other day when I was sitting on the couch waiting for you to do something, and it just came on, and that guy was like, oh, well, what would you do? Where would we go on a date if you took me out on a date? And he's like, hey. And I was like, hey, that guy looks like a serial killer. And then all of a sudden, I found out he was a serial killer.
He was.
And I was like, well, it sounds like my radar's on.
Luckily, he did win. But the girl that he won the date with got the creeps backstage and
I could see why.
Refused to go on a date with him. So it probably saved her life.
So what size knife do you like me to carry?
So anyway, I had fun delving into the history surrounding Halloween, and it just made me love this time of year even more. I'm excited to research all things Halloween for the month of October, where we'll be talking about witches and vampires and other Halloween-associated icons. So make sure to keep listening every week.
As it culminates in our one-year anniversary / Halloween extravaganza episode.
Yeah, we're trying to think of something really cool to do.
On Halloween!
Yeah.
It's going to be something
special. Last year, while it aired, we were in Vegas, so this year we got to figure out something cool to do.
I might dress up as a set of stairs.
I love that.
That would just be a thing. And people, you'd have to be like really in on it. You'd have to be in the scene to know what I'm being right there. You'd be like, oh, so you say you know Halloween?
Yeah.
So, hey, you ever been to Anoka? Huh? Come on. Crystal, would you like to do the honors?
Insert graphic here.
beautiful.
What we're watching.
So this week, in honor of spooky season, we watched one of my all-time favorites, which never gets watered down, regardless of how many top five lists I actually have. And now that I've got an erasable notebook, it's limitless.
It is.
How many I could have. And we watched the 1987 comedy horror film, The Monster Squad. I absolutely love this movie and have ever since I was a kid. Oddly enough, Crystal, who claims to be a fan of 80s movies and a fan of Halloween and a fan of horror and a fan of monsters, had never even heard of this movie.
I had not heard of this.
Until recently.
Until last year was the first time I watched it.
I just don't understand how you'd never even heard of it.
Never heard of it.
You just weren't able to represent.
Oh, but I got really into it. I got myself a Stephen King Rules t-shirt.
Yeah, I know she didn't wear it for this episode.
I meant to. Mm.
So the premise of this movie is about a club of preteens who idolize old school monster movies and their stars. The club is led by Sean Crenshaw. His younger sister, Phoebe, wants to join the Monster Squad Club. And the club includes other members like Patrick Rhodes, Rudy Halloran, Little Eugene, and my personal favorite, Horace.
You just like to say that word.
I also like it when he says it.
Hey, fat kid. Good job.
My name is Horace.
Phoebe ends up getting her hands on the diary of legendary monster hunter Abraham Van Helsing, and Sean is thrilled to get it, until he learns it's written entirely in German, that is. So their only course of action? Go visit the local scary German guy. Because that's what they actually call him in this film.
Well, he was kind of scary.
Of course he
and
was.
German.
He was terrifying.
So what else are you going to call
he
him?
He looked just completely...
Didn't they call the one kid Fat Kid or something?
Hey, Fat Kid!
Yeah.
That's Horace.
Oh, okay.
The diary itself talks of an amulet that is composed of concentrated good. And since all movies need a time issue to make things hang in the balance, one day out of every century, the forces of good and evil reach a balance, and the amulet then becomes vulnerable to destruction. And that time just so happens to be upon them as this is unfolding. Because of course it is. This movie features all the hits. Dracula, the Wolfman, Frankenstein's Monster, the Mummy, and Gillman, which is basically the creature from the Black Lagoon. I'm assuming they didn't have the money to pay for that name on that character.
Yeah.
Dracula, who leads this crew, is intent on destroying the amulet at any cost. And who is tasked with stopping him? Well, they take it upon themselves, but it's the Monster Squad has decided to stop evil from taking over the universe. Cue the amazing 80s movies tropes and the comedy that just doesn't stop coming in the cheesiest way possible. So, Crystal, we've watched this movie.
We have.
And I am very interested to hear on our arbitrarily chosen scale of 1 to 12 dog treats, what is your review, and why is it 12 stars?
Well, you didn't give me a runtime on this for me to base anything on. So.
I don't think you deserve a runtime. I think you need to judge this on its merits, not its runtime.
Okay, I'll give it a 10 out of 12.
Apparently, you didn't hear me.
11?
Give me your review, and let me know why it's 12 dog treats.
Okay, it's 11, because...
You're as bad as our daughter. You just won't follow instructions.
I really love an 80s movie, especially it's kind of fun when you find an 80s movie that you didn't see as a kid and you get to discover it for the first time. So it had everything, like you said, that an 80s movie should have. Funny characters.
Horace.
Yeah, it had everything.
Dracula.
Dracula.
It had
amulets.
Cheesy humor.
Yeah, it was cheesy.
It was a bad movie.
It was bad
in the sense that it was great.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
It's not going to win no awards,
but it's
got a cult following.
Yeah, it's way better than that other movie we just watched.
Yeah, we're going to review that in an upcoming episode.
Yeah,
and we both fell asleep on it because partially we were exhausted and partially it was just not good. And it might be the first movie that we review that I give less than 5 stars.
Yeah, so stay tuned next week for that. But
you want to hear why.
Yeah, but Monster Squad, excellent. Love it. Love the Stephen King Rules shirt.
Phenomenal. One of my favorite. I can at least post a picture of you wearing it so people can see it. So my review about this movie is going to be 12 dog treats out of 12 possible.
So it was perfection.
It was perfection in the sense that you can achieve 80s perfection.
Okay.
I mean, there's different levels of perfection. I mean, you can have a perfect chocolate chip cookie, and it's perfect, but that doesn't mean it's the greatest thing ever made. It might not be the best cookie you've ever had, but it might be the best chocolate chip cookie. And I don't even really like chocolate chip cookies. I like white macadamia.
Tell you what you like. Cookies. You like candy corn that I bought as a display, and you've been eating it.
That bowl is about full.
I know.
I've been eating the pumpkins, too. You don't even know that I
didn't know you knew where the pumpkins were. I thought I hid them. Oh, no.
I didn't tell anybody. I just eating little pumpkins.
Those have to last all month for the set.
Or until the end of the week.
You going to just buy some and replace them?
No. You can. And I'll eat those, too.
No, you're not.
I don't even like sugar that much, but I can't stop myself.
I don't know why you're eating them. I bought them because I didn't think we would eat them.
Uh-huh. So it turns out you're wrong.
I was wrong.
You got to do something to assuage my, you know, tendency to knock stairs over. So
I got you a coffee coat this week.
You did. How sweet of you. So back to my review of this movie. I loved it. It's great. You like 80s movies and you haven't heard of it, which is entirely possible because it was not a very big movie at the time. It's a lot of fun. It's relatively okay for kids. I mean, there's a little language in it and some scenes and, you know, what with sacrifices and such, they've got to have a virgin. So, you know, they talk about that. That's not a big deal for like
very
us.
Very mild for these days.
It's very mild for these days. But it might get some weird questions if you're watching it with your kids and they're like, what's a virgin? And they'll be like, well, you know, let me tell you about old 1864 when Saul Wayne showed up. And, you know,
Saul Wayne
showed up, but it's spelled Saul Wayne. Spelled Sam Hain. It's spelled Halloween. Watch the movie. It's a great movie. We highly recommend it. It's great. Go buy yourself a Stephen King Rule shirt.
Yeah.
That's going to bring us to the portion of our episode that we like to call Layla and Coffee Talk.
So the girls are really embracing the Halloween spirit.
They fight just like a couple of monsters.
We got them some new blankets for the couches, and they're really enjoying that. Coffee was a big help hanging up the lights. We're going to post some pictures. Both of them love helping me plant flowers, so they were quite excited to see the mums arrive. They like to try to eat the dirt when I'm planting.
It's very helpful. You've got to have somebody to sample the soil. It's like the royal food taste tester to make sure it's safe for
the plants. They make a huge mess. And they've been watching a lot of baseball and taking a lot of walks and naps. So they've had a very busy week.
You said that word out loud.
Oh, well, they're in the other room.
You think. You know she can hear that word. For it's like echolocation. It's like a shark can smell blood 7 miles away. She's like, what is this sound I hear?
Yeah, so they're very happy and very excited about possibility of Wagoween this year.
Guess we'll have to see what we lock down with our schedule.
And that's happening on October 22nd and 23rd, by the way, if you're in Savannah and want to take your dog out for treats.
So if you want to find us online, you can go to scarysavannahandbeyond.com. You can also find us on all social media platforms looking for the user at scarysavannah. Please fund the podcast's coffee situation by getting my lovely co-host and wife and head writer some coffee for her cup because it's nearly empty. And you can do that by going to our website, looking in the lower left-hand corner and clicking on the yellow coffee cup icon that should be dancing around right now at the bottom left-hand side of the screen.
Now, luckily, Publix restocked their coffee cokes, so
yes,
we're in luck.
I'm very happy about that situation.
I was thrilled.
But they're quite expensive.
They are.
So are the funds to keep all this stuff going. I don't even know what's causing the smoke to come out of this cauldron, but whatever it is, it probably costs money, too.
I'm brewing up something special
Got
for you.
Got one of them concoctions.
It's a concoction.
Well, that was terrifying. So anyways, if you want to fund that, please go there and leave her a coffee donation in the buy her a coffee section of the site. Remember that we have a merchandise giveaway every month. Go to the top of our website and click on the giveaways tab, and you can get yourself entered in to win a t-shirt or coffee mug in the first episode of our month of November, where we'll announce those winners. Also, Want to let you know that we have a special sale going on in our merch store to celebrate spooky season. So if you go to our website and up the top of the page, you'll see a tab that says merch. If you click on that, it'll take you to our store. And throughout the month of October, we've got a pretty big sale on a lot of things because we'd just like to get some of that merchandise out there and get our podcast name out there for people to spread the word. And I'm thinking of some new designs that I'm going to work on and put on that store soon, too. One of them's going to have something to do with a particular state that we're not going to name because I don't want to offend anybody, even though it doesn't exist.
Oh, really?
That'll be my plan. Cool. I think it's going to be funny.
We also got the new stickers for our golf cart.
So. Oh, the Savannah Mobile. The scary Savannah. What are we calling it? Oscar? Vegas?
Oscar. That's I don't know. Yeah, my vacuum cleaner's name is Vegas.
We named a vacuum cleaner. Apparently, that's a thing.
Yeah, it's one of those little Roomba things.
His
name is Vegas, and he broke my fingernail today.
And he doesn't like to work. He hides under the bed and turns himself off.
Yeah, he constantly gets under Elijah's bed. I have to keep that door closed. But other than that, he's a great help.
He's fine. He's just like me. He's a good help when he shows up. Most of the time, he's hiding under the basement.
A ton of dog hair every day for me.
Also, please go and visit our Patreon page, which you can find exclusive episodes. It's updated at least once a week. And currently, we're talking about cryptids from A to Z, covering all the 50 states of America from A to Z. Now, going to ask what Z is?
I'm still waiting.
You're going to be shocked when you find out. When you click on that link and you're like, what is Z? It turns out if you had my security clearance, you'd know. But I do have a security clearance, by the way.
I know you do. It changes every few seconds.
Yeah, that's how that works. You can go to our Patreon by clicking on the tab at the top of our webpage, or you can follow this link down here, and either one will take you to our Patreon, and you can access that for as little as $3 a month. Anything you do helps support the podcast, and you get a little extra exclusive content to watch and listen to as well, and we greatly appreciate that. Please also go and leave us a 5-star review on your podcast player website of choice, mostly Apple and Spotify and Podchaser, I believe, but wherever you can, that's highly appreciated. And if you leave us a 5-star review, send us a message through our contact page on our website. Tell us you did, and we will send you some free podcast stickers if you want them, which they're amazing stickers, and I think you would want them. But if you can do that for us, we'd love to do that for you.
And by we, you mean me.
Exactly. You're my people. I got people, and those people is you.
Singular person.
Well, I mean, it's people in the sense that they're not me. So it can be singular, it can be plural, whatever you want it to be. So that brings us to that portion of the show where I like to hear you say those 15 words.
Is it 15?
It's 15.
All right. I'm glad you remembered that. I didn't.
I said 5 originally, and then I was like, no, it's off by 10.
It's a lot more than 5. Join us next time in Savannah, where the ghosts and the good times live on.
But do you know who don't?
Casper?
Well, I was going to say Casper, but do you know why?
Why?
Because he's hiding under them stairs, and those local rapscallions done knocked him over. Oh, we gotta go help him.
Let's go.
Let's get out of here.